You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Jim, listening on the web. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Hank. Hey, this is my problem. My wife went to ministry school at Morningstar a few years back, and that's Rick Joyner's ministry. And he also is hand-in-hand with Todd Bentley and Bob Jones and a whole slew of others that claim to be prophets, apostles, what have you. And I keep telling her that the only prophets I hear Christ talking about in the New Testament are false prophets, and to watch out for them. And the only thing she says is she thinks that I am religious and I think God can't talk to people, and that's not what we're arguing in the first place. I just don't think that Rick Joyner, Bob Jones, Todd Bentley, they're not prophets, because what they say doesn't come true. And why would you need a prophet? We have Scripture. It's already written.
Yeah, and I think you've put your finger on the essence of the issue, because Rick Joyner is constantly talking about this great civil war that's going to take place in the church. It's a civil war between the gray coats from the south, and then you have the blue coats from the north. The blue coats from the north are motivated by God, and the gray coats from the south are motivated by greed. And so you're going to have this big civil war. And what is the civil war all about? Well, it's a civil war between those who genuinely believe that God is speaking through modern-day prophets and those who believe that God has already spoken through the prophets, and that we have to test people today in light of Scripture. But these people continually come up with new revelations that are not on par with Scripture, in fact, not consistent with Scripture. Rick Joyner is constantly making a false dichotomy between faith and reason, or I might say, more correctly, between revelation and reason. And I say it's a false dichotomy because reason is necessary, as is revelation. If you go back to the great Greek philosophers who codified the laws of logic, they had reason. But reason, unaided by revelation, always ends up in the blind ditch of ignorance. Which is to say, you can have perfect eyesight, but if you're sitting in a black, dark cave, 20/20 eyesight doesn't aid you. You still can't see. And that is why Augustine, one of the great luminaries in the early Christian church, pointed out the need for revelation. And that revelation comes to us from nature. It comes to us from the Bible. It comes to us from the one begotten of flesh. And without that revelation, we are impotent. Nor do we need further revelation, as though the new prophets like Rick Joyner are the superstars of such incredible prophetic prowess that were Moses alive today, or the Apostle Paul, they'd be waiting in line to get his autograph. This is the kind of thing that we're finding today with people who say that the great civil war is going to break out between those who genuinely believe in new revelation and those who continually point back to the revelation that we already have. Joyner is convinced that the Greys, whom he characterizes as spiritually ruthless and cruel, must be confronted and exposed and either converted or removed from their place of influence in the church. After the Greys, who he says constitute nearly half of the believers in the world today, are defeated, there will be, he says, an entirely new definition of Christianity. And he declares believers and unbelievers alike will think that this is the end of Christianity as we know it, and it will be through this bloody civil war. The very definition of Christianity will be changed for the better. And I would say that he's dead wrong. He's part of a counterfeit revival and looking for God in all the wrong places. If anything, what genuine prophets of God should be telling people today is to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them, because that is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation by which all else must be tested.
Yes, sir. Can I get some scripture from you? Because I keep telling her, I read her in what Paul talks about in Colossians about, you know, I mean, people conjuring prophecy from their deceitful mind. Matthew talking about when Jesus talks about the false prophets, but she just doesn't. She keeps using this fivefold ministry that they're taught, that like the apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. And I keep telling her that was before the Bible was written. But she wants proof from the Bible. But none of any of these people who go to his ministry school have. Like, I'd say stuff that from the Bible they don't even know about because they're too busy listening to Rick or one of his underlings to read the Bible.
Look, I think what would be really helpful to you, I don't know if you've read this, but I wrote an entire manual on this. It's called Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places.
Okay.
And it's available in an expanded and updated version through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Because I think that Rick Joyner is a classic example of a counterfeit revivalist. It is one of the reasons that I wrote this book.
Okay, because I got your Christianity in Crisis on the way.
Yeah, well, you want to get Counterfeit Revival as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Andrew. He's listening in Lubbock, Texas. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I had a question that it almost appears as a contradiction, but I wanted to get your advice on it. I was reading in 1 John the other day that, chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, "No one has ever seen God." And it reminded me of a time when Moses spoke to God. And in Exodus chapter 33, it says that Moses spoke to God spoke to Moses face to face like a man speaks with his friend. But later on in the same chapter, it says when Moses was up on the mountain that God had to place his hand over Moses' eyes so that he would not see his face as he passed by. Otherwise, he would die. And I'm just kind of curious as to, how exactly does that work?
Yeah, well, I think certainly under the old covenant, no man could see the essence or the fullness of God and live. And yet under the new covenant, we beheld his glory in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But specifically to your point with respect to Moses, Moses saw not the essence of God, but rather a visual expression of the glory of God. Moses saw the form or likeness of God, not the literal essence of God. So God can be known by the things he has made, but he cannot be known completely. In his essence as spirit, God can be known in part through his creation, and he can be known in the incarnation. And I think that's the real issue that's being discussed, and that's the essence of why this seems to be a contradiction, but in reality is not.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've written about this in various forums. If you want to hang on, I can get that information out to you as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
You got it. We're coming up to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, with more of your questions. A lot of interesting questions coming up right around the corner, so stay tuned. And do remember in the meantime that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot do what we do. This ministry is having an impact all around the world. It's because of faithful partners like you. Be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Andrew. He's listening in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just had a question. Well, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for the ministry you got going on. I love listening to it. Every time I get a chance, I'll pull over my work truck and start listening.
Oh,
and don't get any work done. But anyway, I just wanted to ask about, you know, when you were talking with the other caller about anybody seeing God's face.
Yeah.
I was reading in Genesis 31:30, is it, or 32:30, about when Jacob wrestled with God. Could you explain that when he says, I've seen God face to face? And my life is preserved?
Yeah, it's exactly what it says. I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. When Jacob saw God face to face, it means that he interacted with God in an intimate, personal manner through what's called a theophany, in which God appears to him. So you have in the Old Testament theophanies, appearances of God. You have Christophanies, appearances of Jesus Christ. Typically, the moniker that is used is the angel of Yahweh. And you also have angelophanies. Just think back to Abraham when he met the Lord and two angels on the plains of Mamre. So the idea in the Old Testament is certainly that God, in temporary senses, took on human flesh, as has Jesus Christ prior to the incarnation, as have angels. Not fallen angels, because they don't have creative prowess, but certainly God, by his own creative prowess, can allow angels to take on form, just as he took on form in this particular example that you cite in Genesis chapter 32. So again, Jacob saw God face to face in the sense that he interacted with God in an intimate, personal manner through a theophany in which God appears to him. And remember, God is the invisible, omnipresent source of all things. He is spirit, not flesh and bone, and yet he can take on temporary form because, of course, he is God. So what we cannot have is unmediated, direct communion with God in our mortal state. We can have this unmediated direct communion with God in our glorified state, in the new heaven, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. But right now, we are still sinful, and that's why we cannot have this unmediated direct communication with God.
Okay, that makes sense. I have to take a while to digest that. So I just wanted to know if it was like the actual God or a, like you said, a theophany where he made himself a man, I guess, just like he did when he was born, as coming in as a son. So
Well, there are some differences, though, because in a theophany or a Christophany in the Old Testament, it is a temporary appearance of God in human form. But that does not suppose in any way that we can understand in our fallen human state, that we can interact with God, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent source of all things. That is yet to come. That's something that will happen when we meet him, again, using the metaphor face-to-face and eternal condition.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, I have one other question about, you know, your end-time views compared with others. Like, I've been reading Left Behind with Timothy LaHaye and whatnot, and I kind of stopped reading it because I heard what your views were. What would be a good source to get your view on it?
Well, I wrote a book about this called The Apocalypse Code, and that book will do a couple of things. Not only give you my view on eschatology, but it will also give you a basis by which you can decide for yourself. In other words, in the book, I present an acronym by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. And so the operative question will become, does God have two distinct people with two distinct destinies, necessitating two phases of the second coming, a secret coming, followed 7 years later by a second coming? You'll be able to determine that yourself, because I'll put the tools in your hands by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. It's called technically the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a science in that there are principles that are brought to bear on reading the text for all it's worth. So, for example, what does the literal principle of biblical interpretation mean? Does it mean that you take things in a wooden, literalistic sense? Or rather, does it mean that you take things in the sense in which they are intended? So if you have the blood rising to the horses' bridles, do you take that in a wooden, literal sense? You think all of Israel is going to be covered in blood as high as a horse's bridle? There isn't that much blood in the universe. Or do you take that in the sense in which it is intended as a judgment metaphor? These are the kinds of things, the principles you learn. And what will happen as a result of it is the Bible will open up like a fragrant rose, and you'll be able to enjoy it in a much more full and fragrant sense.
I'll definitely check that out. Thank you.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jackie in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, can people change their destiny? Are we in control of our destiny?
Well, our actions and our thoughts really matter. So we do not want to start with a premise that we are fatalistically determined. Now, that's what you have as a result of philosophical naturalism. Philosophical naturalism says that everything that we experience is a result of blind natural processes. And so it embraces fatalistic determinism. So I often quip that if Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, she does not have free choice. Her choices are determined fatalistically by brain chemistry and genetics, but not so in a biblical worldview. What we do actually matters. And we must never forget that while God knows the end from the beginning as the sovereign of the universe, the fact that he knows does not mean that our choices don't matter or that our lives are fatalistically determined. And we can see this in a faint glimpse as we look back in our own lives to events that we know with great precision, and yet the fact that we know what happened in the past does not presume that we caused what happened in the past to occur. Now, with God, we can take this and stretch it out on both sides. We can only look in the rearview mirror, but God knows all things, and therefore he knows what will happen, but that does not mean that your choices are fatalistically determined or that they don't count. They do. So we must not have a fatalistic worldview and say, well, no sense in washing my hands today because if God wants them to be clean, he'll cause them to be clean in and of themselves. No, we wash our hands. I mean, that action does matter. It does count.
Okay, well, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Want to go to Dre, listening on Fresno, California. Hi.
How you doing? I have a close friend of mine, and here where I am and in Fresno, California, I think everyone's on this Holy Spirit hype, so everything that they do is they will say, okay, well, you know, yeah, the Bible says that, but, you know, they say, well, the Bible says every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. Not, and they think that the Bible is, you know, is old and past and is going away. In which case, resulting in my good friend, he claims that God gave him a revelation that he should not go to church anymore as a cocooning process. And I don't know what to say to him because I feel like he's lost.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that there are those that are getting these new revelations, and this is a classic example of a new revelation which is in conflict with the revelation that we have received. The biblical revelation is that when you become a born-again believer, which means that you are born spiritually, you are not born as a Lone Ranger Christian that has an individualistic identity, but you are born into a body. Christ is building a temple made of spiritual stones. You're part of that temple. So you're born into the body of Christ, the body of which Christ is the head. And therefore, it's critical that each person functions within that body, not only in worshiping God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word, but also in oneness through community and confession and contribution. Each member of the body is important to all the other members. So we're not isolated. We're inextricably knit together. And this is also true because the body not only functions in worship and oneness, but the body functions in witness. And so we bring people back into the body. They experience church life. They don't go to church, but they experience integration into the family of God. And so anyone getting a new revelation that suggests they don't have to go to church simply does not understand a biblical worldview, which necessitates that you test that kind of false revelation in light of the true revelation, which we have already received once for all. The Bible says it has been delivered to the saints. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Right back here answering your questions tomorrow, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.